All right, it's 8 a.m. I want to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission's Mechanical Technical Advisory Committee meeting of June 24th, 2022. I'm going to go ahead and do our roll call to determine whether we have a quorum. Commissioner John.
Here.
Oscar Caella.
Here.
Elizabeth Gull. We understand Dan Griffin won't be here today. Gary Griffin.
Here.
Joe Greiner.
Here.
Alex Hernandez.
Here.
Okay. We understand that Commissioner Jones will not be here today as well. Ray Pierce for Kenny Locke.
Here.
Is that the correct first name?
Yes.
Okay. Donnie Pittman. Rick Sims and Pete Quintella. Very good. So we have 10 of 12. Okay. So in this instance, with 10 members, a 7-3 would be required to pass and a 6-4 would fail. All right, then the next order of business is to approve the agenda. Today's agenda is to approve the minutes from your last meeting and to provide the commission with your preliminary recommendations on proposed code amendments for the 8th edition 2023 Florida Building Code and our local technical amendments. I'd ask for a motion by name. Each time you make a motion and a second, please state your name. A motion and a second by name, please.
Oscar, second.
A motion and a second for approval. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. You had an opportunity to review the November 1st, 2021 meeting minutes that were electronically posted. Unless there's any corrections or revisions, is there a motion to accept the minutes? Okay. Huh? Yeah, I just need a second. Thanks. We have a motion. Can I have a second? Very good. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right. I'm going to review the process we're going to use, and then I'm going to ask for a motion to approve some standing findings for any motion that you make to approve. And then Mo will go through, briefly summarize the various documents that you're using. And then we'll get started. Again, state your name each time you're speaking when making and seconding motions. Members of the public will have 3 minutes for comments. We have a timer on the table. While the timer's green, it starts green. When it turns yellow, you have 30 seconds. When it turns red, your time is expired. You have to hold the push button on your mic and see a green light. You have to keep holding it the entire time you're speaking, members of the public and most of our TAC members as well. Proponents and opponents are encouraged just to raise their hands in support or in opposition, as the case may be, if they don't feel a need to make a longer time statement. Feel free to make a statement if you'd like, and we'll go from there. So the first thing we'll do is approve the standing findings. It's not a standing motion, but I'll go over that in a second. I'll introduce each code amendment, and I'll ask the proponent to provide their summary. The first, their 3 minute opportunity. I'll ask if there's any other proponents from the public, any opponents. Each will have 3 minutes, and then if there's any rebuttals, it's one collective opportunity for the proponent side and one for the opponent side of 2 minutes. And the proponent would have the choice of doing it or somebody else, and then the stakeholders can determine amongst themselves who the other person would be if it comes down to that. After we hear from the public, I'll come back to the TAC. I'll ask the technical advisory committee member who was assigned the amendment. In some cases, it's not really necessary to provide a summary, but if you have a very brief summary, and then you can make a motion if you'd like, or not, and somebody else can make it. But typically, the person will make a motion to either approve or to deny, and then we have a second and we have discussion. TAC members, if you want to ask a question of a stakeholder, you may just, you know, kind of look and say, I'd like to ask a question, and we'll do it. We do want to make sure that it's a question and not a back and forth discussion. So feel free to ask questions of proponents for clarification as you need. Just, you know, ask, and then we'll do that. Each code amendment must be voted on individually, either with a motion to approve or a motion to deny. So we no longer have to deal with negative roll calls and try to determine that. So you either vote for it or against it. It takes a second, and it's a two-thirds approval to achieve that level. So remember, you could actually vote against an amendment, even if you supported it, because you feel there's a few changes that should be made, and you provide constructive input to the proponent, who can then bring it back. These are preliminary recommendations. So this is the first time we've done it this way. So instead of in October when we meet again, instead of providing comments on your recommendations, you can revise and change your recommendations, and then you'll just have your single final recommendation. So in each instance, the commission will receive whether you're have a motion that you're whether you're recommending approval or denial. Not I'm recommending the recommendation was for denial, but we like the comment, addresses our concerns, so de facto we're really recommending approval. You're just going to have that. So this is preliminary, and you can decide at the next meeting based on information or whatever that you want to change your mind on that, whether to approve or deny. So that's gives you some flexibility in terms of thinking through things. We're asking not to make any modifications, just provide constructive comments, as I said, to the stakeholders so that they can bring back revisions. So like I said, in a lot of cases, a TAC member will, I really like this amendment, I think it just needs this, but I'm going to vote to deny it and ask you to bring that back in October and with the language that makes more sense or that we prefer, and go from there. If the TAC does make a modification, which again we're not encouraging at all, then you would no longer be standing on the standing findings, but you would have to make the findings yourself. We take additional public comment, TAC analysis of findings, rationale, and fiscal impact, and in essence it becomes the TAC becomes the proponent. And then we would also require an electronic, editable format copy provided, file provided to staff, and 20 copies. We haven't had any of that in this process, but if it does happen, that's how it goes. So anybody have any questions on the process we use for today's meeting? All right, so I'm going to read a... a motion for standing findings. When I complete it, I would ask for a motion and a second and then a vote in support of it. The Technical Advisory Committee moves that for all motions made to approve a proposed code amendment, the Technical Advisory Committee votes to recommend that the Commission approve the amendment based on the following findings. And the findings are all the requirements of Florida's statute. The amendment is needed in order to accommodate the specific needs of the state, and the amendment has a reasonable and substantial connection to the health, safety, and welfare of the general public, and the amendment strengthens or improves the Florida Building Code, or in the case of innovation or new technology, will provide equivalent or better products or methods or systems of construction. And the amendment does not discriminate against materials, products, methods, or systems of construction of demonstrated capabilities. And the amendment does not degrade the effectiveness of the Florida Building Code. And the amendment has the following fiscal impact relative to the costs and benefits of the proposed amendment. The fiscal impact relative to enforcement imposed upon local government is as indicated by the proponent. The fiscal impact of compliance imposed upon building and property owners is as indicated by the proponent. The fiscal impact relative to compliance imposed upon industry is as indicated by the proponent. The amendment must demonstrate by evidence or data that the state's geographical jurisdiction exhibits a need to strengthen the code beyond the needs or regional variations addressed by the code and why the proposed amendment applies to the state. The amendment's benefits, noted with regard to fiscal impact and efficacy, outweigh the costs imposed. The amendment does not diminish requirements related to wind resistance or prevention of water intrusion contained in the code or its reference standards and criteria. I would ask for a motion for approval by name, please. Motion and second for approval. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right. So, Mo, go ahead and review the documents, please.
Yeah, good morning. This is Mo Madani. I, assuming you from the laptop before you, you will see there is a matrix. This matrix has all the code changes proposed under this cycle. There's about 619 code changes. Those code changes distributed through the tax, as you see. And for mechanical tax, you will see there is the agenda, there is the detail report, tracking chart, and since there is some local amendments for you to review. The tracking charts, if you click on it, you will see that's mainly a document that give you a summary of the code change number, and a room for putting in the action of the attack, along with the fact that you can also type into it. So it's an editable file. Also, this tracking chart is what staff will use to record your action. Now, the detail reports, if you click on it, which is what we'll be using to review the proposed code changes, for this tag, there is a 12 proposed code changes, and as you see, the detail report is organized by subcode, and also, like with regard to the code changes, let's take the first code change, 10.3.94. It tells you that, first of all, the subcode that this code change is submitted to is building. It tells you the code section. It tells you that if, whether there's an attachment submitted or not. In this case, yes, so there's an attachment. It tells you whether there are general comments or not, or an alternate language. So this one has both general comment and alternate language. It gives you the summary of the code change, the rationale, and the answer to those questions that required by the online code mod form. And then after that, you will get also the general with this alternate language. You'll get the history of the alternate language. And then after that is the general comments, and then the text of the alternate language text, and then after that you will see the language for the original code change, and then after that the attachment. This is how the detail report is structured. If you feel that you need to jump from one code change to another, you know, you can always do Control F and put in the number. Otherwise, I think these mods will be taken up as organized in this detail report. Any question about the detail reports? If not, thank you. And Jeff, go ahead.
All right. Well, the first one on your tracking chart, 10.3.94, was taken up by the primary tech. The fire tech and denied, and I believe, do you want to say it, Mo, or do you want me to say it?
Yeah, this one, I think, really, by mistake, I think it was assigned to you, and it's not mechanical in nature, so it's already, you know, there is a primary tag for it, so I would say no action would be fine on it, if you want.
Right, so it really, it shouldn't have been brought here, it was just a mistake, so we'll move to the second one. All right, next it is 9996 by Eric Stafford. does anybody from the public want to speak in favor, Joe, of this? Thank you, home builders. Okay, well, normally Eric comes up and sort of just explains the situation.
I can do it, it's fine.
All right.
Mainly cleaning the code. We have, you know, put together a project to mainly remove the seismic and snow requirements from the Florida Building Code because those don't apply to our state. So we, you know, hired a contractor to do that, which is Erica Stafford, and also this project was approved by the commission. And based on that project, Erica Stafford also proposed code changes during this cycle to remove those requirements. So, and those, as you know, they're exist within all the subcodes, including the mechanical. So far, other TACs did take up these code changes and approve them as submitted. So we ask for you to do the same if possible. Thank you.
Right. So in essence, the commission had made the policy decision that they wanted to remove this, and this is just doing it. And so we're looking for approval of these. All right. So 9996, Commissioner John.
I'd like to make a comment about 996, if I could.
Go ahead.
Just there are earthquakes in Florida, and I did some research on it, and they range from 1.9 to 3.1 on Richter scale. So there are earthquakes in Florida, but they are not causing damage. So I support this amendment. I do support this. So is there a motion to accept 996?
No, you just make the motion.
Okay. I'll
second the motion.
All right, the motion is second for approval as submitted. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Very good. 10-0. All right, you're 9997 is another seismic load issue. Is there anybody from the public wish to comment? Seeing none, I'm going to turn to you, Oscar.
It's the same issue. I make a motion to approve as submitted.
Motion and second, Donnie Pittman. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Excuse me. Okay, next is 10381, submitted by Rolando Soto. Is there anybody here from the public? Yes, sir. Are you here to speak in favor of this? All right, so come on up. You've got 3 minutes, and you need to state your name and representation. And if anybody else wants to speak, please be prepared to come up. And when we come back to the table, Ray, this will be the one we turn to you for this one.
Yeah, hold the microphone down. Green light will come on.
The entire time you're talking.
Yeah, I'm representing the Board of Rules and Appeals. My name is Timothy DiCarion, and Rolando is my associate, and he can't be here, so I'm speaking on his behalf. We have had a number of inspectors turn down pizza oven installations because they did not have a type 1 kitchen hood. And a lot of times, you know, they read that in the code where it's the authority having jurisdiction, and they'll require it. Well, they've done enough, they've done some studies on this, especially with the wood-fired ovens, that putting a hood over these type of ovens is not a good practice. So the manufacturer's instructions show direct venting without a hood. And when you're using wood, a lot of times you have creosote that develops on side of the walls of it. And they're finding that by using a direct venting and natural venting, that you don't get that. You don't get that on the walls. So we would like to recommend adding an exception. And the Board of Rules and Appeals has a declaratory statement on this already in Broward County allowing them to do a direct vent for pizza ovens.
All right, thank you. Is anybody else in the public wish to speak in support? Is that you're representing the home builders in this instance? Anybody wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none, then I'll turn to Ray for your recommendation.
As far as I know, the person I'm sending in for did recommend this, so I believe this is in favor.
So you're making a motion to approve as submitted?
Yes, sir.
All right. We have a second. Is there any discussion?
I'd like to ask a question to the stakeholder. NFPA 96 does cover this type of this cup application, but there are also other requirements, like it has to have its own system. You can't combine a solid fuel burning system with a kitchen ventilation system. There's requirements for the fans to be UL, certain UL listing. My question to you is, does NFPA 96, will that cover, you think that will cover those issues?
Yes, I believe it does. That's why it's mentioned in this amendment of allowed in NFPA 96, yes.
Okay. I think Pete wanted to respond as well.
We don't adopt NFPA 96.
Yeah, get a little closer, Ken.
We don't adopt NFPA 96. The system is listed, and it should be approved as listed, and it meets the standards as required.
Okay. All right, we have a motion and a second for approval as submitted. Is there any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right. Okay, the next two are also seismic submitted. So first is 9999, submitted by Eric Stafford and Elizabeth.
Recommend for approval.
Okay. Motion and second for approval. No discussion then. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. The next one is also seismic. 10024, submitted by Eric Stafford. I see no public comment. I will turn to you, Dan. Dan Griffin. Oh, Dan's not here. All right, will somebody please make a motion, please? Motion and a second for approval as submitted. No discussion, I see. Then all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? It's unanimous. Excuse me. And then, Gary, you'll be up when we come back. 10170, Jeff Sunny. Yes, sir.
All right, good morning. Jeff Sunny at FSEC. So this mod requires additional documentation and labeling for whole house mechanical ventilation systems. Florida Building Commission-sponsored research indicates that these systems are really not well understood by home occupants and are often not functioning as they're intended to. So this mod seeks to ensure that systems are better understood and by the occupants, and in so doing, improve system reliability and facilitate maintenance. We do have one note here that we have one item 2B in this change. Text is accessory dampers. We've had some discussion about that, if that's clear. So maybe the next round we would be open to removing accessory dampers from that the list of items required. So thank you.
All right. Does anybody else in the public wish to speak in support? Anybody in opposition? Okay.
Joe Belcher, Florida Home Builders Association, in opposition. Mild opposition, actually, to this one, based on some of the things that Jeff said they're considering changing. We do request denial on this so they can come back with a revision as an alternate language. Thank you.
All right. Is there anybody else who wants to speak in opposition? Jeff, do you want a rebuttal? Okay, then I'll turn to you, Gary. This is one that you were assigned, I believe. But it's all right. If somebody else is prepared to start the discussion, it's fine.
I would just recommend that we accept or deny it so that they can bring it back in October.
Okay, good. Is there a second? Motion and second for denial. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, next is 10171.
Not approved.
We need to wait for the public to comment first. On it. Yeah, so this is next is 10171, which is, it would be useful, but no, just kidding. Jeff Sunny, go ahead, Jeff.
Jeff Sunny, representing FSEC. Again, this one requires a test report for whole house mechanical ventilation systems. Whole house mechanical ventilation is relatively new in Florida and is only installed on a relatively small number of homes. And again, FPC-sponsored research indicates that the systems are, for a number of reasons, often not functioning as intended. So this model will help ensure that the operational status has been confirmed and help make building officials aware of the presence of the systems and facilitate verification.
Very good. Anybody from the public wish to speak in support of this? Opposition then. And Joe, this will be you when we come back, just so you're ready.
Joe Belcher, Florida Homeowners Association. We have strong opposition to this particular change, requiring another round of testing in single-family dwellings. The proponent says there's a slight increase in cost in applicable cases. We got an estimate from a reputable company. They said it would be $350 to $500 for a single house for the testing, depending on if you have to come back and things of that nature. This change, right now, we do have builders that are building above and beyond the energy code requirements, and they are providing mechanical ventilation. Whole house mechanical ventilation is part of that. They're less than the three air changes per hour. Approval of this change, adding this cost, will put a chilling effect on those that are doing that voluntarily. Because if you keep, you know, these guys are trying to do something better, and then you keep hitting them with more rules all the time, they're just going to stop doing it because the code does not require you to go below 3 ECH. That's something, if you want to do that, you can do that. The code does not require that right now. So we request denial. Thank you.
Does anybody else in the public wish to speak in denial? Would you like a rebuttal opportunity of 2 minutes? Okay.
Yeah, we just, you know, based on, again, the research, you know, we're seeing issues with these systems operating, and so we're trying to find ways of ensuring that they are more effective and that their use is continuous. And, you know, again, I think as far as the cost goes, you know, I think a lot of this could be done at a same time, doing maybe a blower door test, that kind of thing. So we don't have exact cost numbers, but we think it would be less than that estimate.
Okay. Would the opponent like a rebuttal opportunity of 2 minutes?
Very quickly, we got that cost from the chairman of the Energy Tech, so that's a reputable company, so we think that cost is fairly accurate. And, you know, now we're putting code provisions in because homeowners aren't doing things. But maybe we need an education program to teach these people when they have these systems how they're supposed to operate, rather than trying to constantly put new regulations on the construction industry. Thank you. Request approval. Denial.
All right, then
I retract that. Request denial.
All right. Let the record reflect. Okay. Then I'm going to turn it to you, Joe, for your...
A couple quick comments. Okay. If you look at the report that was made by the Florida Solar Energy Commission, really only one of the 21 houses that they tested or that they went to, the system was operating as it was designed. But 18 out of the 21 knew about it. So the idea that we're adding a requirement for the test report at the construction of the house doesn't really address the problem with the folks that are occupying the house, that are not maintaining them, turning them off. Only one out of the 21 had the system operating as it was designed, and that wasn't the fault of any test that was done at the construction of the home. So my recommendation would be to deny.
All right, we have a motion for denial. Is there a second? Motion and a second for denial. Is there any discussion? All in favor of denial, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh, okay, so it's 9-1, so it passes.
If I may, I was trying to get 10170 denied so we could reconsider it in October. That's what I was objecting to before the public started talking to 10171.
It was.
It was denied?
Yeah.
So they can reconsider?
Yeah, as long as they bring a comment.
Thank you.
And even if it was approved, you can change your mind at the next meeting. You could, you know, if somebody submits a comment on it. Okay. Yeah, I think it's important to remember these are preliminary recommendations, but somebody does need to submit a comment if they want to see it again at the October meeting, so that's the key. Okay, 10173, Jeff Sunny, and it'll be you, Alex, when we come back. Go ahead.
All right, Jeff Sunny representing FSEC. Similar rationale here to 10170, that the research is showing that the systems aren't not well understood by the home occupants and often not functioning as intended, as we just was discussed. And so this one tries to help ensure that these systems are better understood by the occupants, improve reliability, and facilitate maintenance.
All right. Anybody else in the public in support? I see Mr. Holland from NEMA. Anybody in opposition? Excuse me.
Joe Belcher, Florida Home Builders Association, request denial. This is in conjunction with the previous two that were denied.
All right. Jeff, would you like a rebuttal? Standing where you are? Okay. Then I'll turn it to you, Alex.
I'm in favor of this. I understand what they're trying to do, but I need some clarification on, I'd like some clarification on the three options that you have for the detection. Visual display with readily accessible occupants. Then the third one is audible alarm accompanied by visual display. Are those two the same? And what is an electronic application?
So an electronic application would be like something on your smartphone, an application indicating so you can read from your phone where that is. And what was the other question? I'm sorry.
Number one and number two seem like they're the same type of detection.
Okay, the visual display, and we can look at wording if that's, an issue or question, but this would just be something that's more mounted at the home, so visual display showing and indicating that.
So are these detections that are built into the system itself, or are these, is this a separate device that needs to be purchased by the home builder, homeowner?
I think it could be either. We know there are some, like ERVs, that we've seen that do have these systems built into them, but it could be separate as well. I don't think it's the same one or the other.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to deny, please.
Okay. The motion was to deny. All right, we have a motion and a second for denial. Is there any discussion? Then all in favor of denial say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, next is 10069 submitted by Timothy De Carrion. Is there anybody here? Okay, come on up, please.
Yes, Timothy De Carrion from Board of Rules and Appeals. Through the years, since we've had so many hurricanes coming through the South Florida area, after a storm, you get an influx of permits for standby generators. Because, the power's sometimes off 3 weeks, could be four, could be a month. And, we're in a hot climate, and so you're seeing more and more standby residential generators. Now, Broward County, through the years, has had guidelines for the installation of standby generators. Bob Andrews, in Broward County, came up with some guidelines for Broward, but there's nothing in the Florida Building Code about the installation of them. It's pretty much Wild Wild West. You try to apply a standard, but you can't find anything in the code. So this amendment would be to put something in the code about standby generators. And it has basically the standards for electric and fuel gas. It has flood standards. It has fuel gas standards. It has some provisions for the locations of the exhausts so that you don't put them near windows. And it also has a provision for safety, because I'm sure you've seen in the news a lot of people with generators leave them running, and there's always sickness involved if the carbon monoxide gets into the home. So there's a provision for that. So this sets out standards, and it also has safety.
Very good. Anybody else in the public wish to speak in support? Ms. Carrion, I believe there's somebody here who wants to speak as well.
Arlene Stewart, Energy Code Circuit Rider, in support. This year, ProPublica reported that of all appliances available on the market, that standby generators were the most deadly when it came to carbon monoxide. I urge your support.
All right. Anybody else in the public which speak? Nima, this is support. Is anybody in opposition?
Joe Belcher, Florida Homebuilder Association. We're not in strong opposition, but the provision does not really make any differentiation between a portable generator versus a permanent generator. All the provisions seem to be related to permanent generators, but I don't. If we start feeling that it's going to be applied to portable generators, I think it could be an enforcement issue. I think that he should come back and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he doesn't intend to apply it to portable generators. You know, the kind that are on wheels, that like I have in my garage. That I would. I don't know. Now I'm going to have to elevate it if I'm in a flood hazard zone. That kind of a thing. So I think that maybe it should be tied to permanent generators.
All right. Is there anybody else in opposition? Mr. Chairman Schock is. Okay. Then would the proponent like their two-minute rebuttal opportunity? Okay. Come on up. Still have to say your name and all each time, so.
I believe that is not a valid argument. The Florida Building Code doesn't deal with appliances that people buy somewhere at a Home Depot. That's a silly argument. We don't need to put something in there about appliances that you buy, you know, portable appliances. You know, what about my coffee maker? What about, you know, a microwave oven that I put on my countertop? You know, I believe that's just something to delay this.
So it doesn't apply to portable generators, is what you're saying?
No, I don't believe this anywhere would apply to it.
Right.
And I don't think it needs to be even mentioned in it. Otherwise, we would have to go through the entire building code and mention these items that you could buy in department stores.
All right. Does the opponent want a rebuttal opportunity? All right. Then I'm going to come to you, Oscar.
Yes, I think the language is clear. It says residential standby generators, and then talks about installation. You wouldn't install a portable appliance. So the language is clear. I think it's a good idea, and I would make a motion to approve.
Okay.
I second that.
All right. We have a motion and a second for approval as submitted. Is there any discussion?
I'd like to make. I think it's a good proposal, but there's some things that need a little bit more detail. For instance, wind resistance. It says shall be designed and installed to resist the wind pressure determined in accordance with this code. I think that needs a little bit more detail. So I think it's a good mod, but I think it needs a little bit more work. I mean, it needs to be, and I think a little bit more work to clarify some of these points.
All right. Any additional discussion? No, sir. Sorry. Okay. All in favor of the motion, which is approval as submitted, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, raise your hand. All right. The vote is 9-1 in support, and so it is approved by the TAC, not by the commission. Okay. The last two are, other than the locals, are seismic. First is 10025. Mr. Eric Stafford, anybody from public wish to comment? I see none. Donnie? Motion and a second for approval as submitted. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous as well. Next is 10026, submitted by Eric Stafford, again relating to seismic. Pete? Motion and a second for approval as submitted. No discussion. Then all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right. We have five local technical amendments that I'm going to turn to our legal counsel, Justin Vogel, to orient us.
Good morning, TAC members. So as most of you are probably aware, local jurisdictions have the ability to adopt technical amendments to the building code that apply only in their jurisdiction. With each new edition of the code, those local technical amendments expire unless the Florida Building Commission elects to incorporate them into the statewide code. If it does not, then the local jurisdiction has the opportunity to repromulgate the local technical amendment at the local level. But essentially what the TAC is going to be tasked with doing today is looking at these local technical amendments and making a recommendation to the Florida Building Commission about whether these any of these amendments should be incorporated into the statewide code.
All right. And as a point of information, no TAC nor has the commission ever approved a local technical amendment in each instance they've been denied. So the first is Pinellas County. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak on this, either in favor or in opposition? Then I would come to the TAC, please, for a motion.
Motion to deny.
Motion and a second for denial. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That is unanimous. Next is from Broward County. Is there anybody who wants to speak on this, either in favor or opposition? Seeing none, then I'm going to come back to the TAC for a motion, please. Motion and a second for denial. All seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? It's unanimous. The next one is also from Broward County. Does anybody from the public wish to speak either in support of or in opposition to? Then I'm going to come back to the TAC for action. Motion and a second for denial. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Next is from Broward County. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak either in favor or in opposition? I'll come back to the TAC, please. Motion and a second for denial. No discussion seen. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. The final one's from Broward County. Anybody from the public wish to speak either in support, opposition? Back to the TAC. Motion and a second for denial. Is there any discussion? None. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay. Is there any other comments that anybody would like to make, either from the public or the TAC? If not, Commissioner John, I would ask you just to just say we stand adjourned.
We stand adjourned.
Great. Thank you. Much better way to do it. Okay.
10.
All right, so what is it? 8:42.